Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, the home of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier, afternoons 2 to 6. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston, a Radio.com sports station.
Upset Danielle because she hates Pink Floyd.
But I don't mind this cover, though. I think Aaron did a great job with it.
That's Aaron Lewis and Stained. Great request, by the way. Let it breathe a little.
And there's the ship smoke on the horizon. You're only coming through in waves.
All requests, cover only, rejoined Friday based on a listener text this morning, and that's a pretty good one. Although I will say that the Van Morrison cover from The Departed is the best cover.
That's my favorite of that song.
So,
what about Bruce and Royals?
he do that?
Yeah, in Australia.
Some concern about helping the restaurant today because they may not have enough provisions on hand.
Maybe you can just say you won't go, Greg.
How do you
maybe reach out and be like, hey?
So should we pick a day next week for this?
I think that's the general consensus from the listeners, so I think they might be right.
The back of house people are checking in and saying we're going to overwhelm the guy and he may not have enough food.
Or a permit.
All right, so we'll do it one day next week. We should pick, but is the issue with this place, Ken, that they're not open? What are their hours?
They open 3 o'clock Monday through Thursday. Today they would open at noon, but...
So it would have to be next Friday.
It would have to be next Friday.
Yep.
Maybe we should reach out to the guy.
Yeah, see. See what's the best
thing. But we should do it. We should do it every week. I like this name for it. SOS. Save Our Saloons.
Oh. Okay.
Can you use that term? I mean, is
sure.
That, is that term
is that a
okay?
Saloon?
Are we offending anybody with that? I mean, I'm not sure.
Let me check out Urban Dictionary.
this is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Greg.
What's up, Bill?
Happy Friday, everyone.
What
same
up
to you,
Bill?
Thank you. Hey, listen, Greg, I'm all for helping people. I'm all for helping everyone. Mm-hmm. But you stressed that this, or Danielle, rather, stressed that this was a Republican,
Fundraiser. Correct,
so,
yes.
And you said, obviously, you would help.
Yes.
But my question to you is simply, and remember to breathe, Greg.
Yep.
Would you also help if the person was a Democratic?
May I answer your question with a question?
You can.
Would I know about it if it were a Democratic fundraiser and not a Republican fundraiser? Would this man be charged for allowing people in his restaurant or for what people are doing in his restaurant that he has no control over, would he be charged if it were a Democratic fundraiser in this state?
Without any one of us speculating, I cannot answer that question.
Oh, okay. Same.
Okay.
Same.
But Danielle did point out that it was a Republican.
I asked her to.
Well, it was okay. Part of the story. What was the event?
It was a breakfast thing where these people got together, and God forbid, they were talking to each other at a place without their restaurant on. I mean, without their mask on.
Getting a restaurant.
Greg, your restaurant is showing.
Oh, man, now I have to have a restaurant.
But that's not. Let me be clear. That's
which
not
I
why.
I totally get.
Let me be clear. That's not why I'm suggesting that we help the guy with a cash mob or save our saloons or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm suggesting it because in the middle of the worst economic disaster that this poor guy has ever experienced, they're going to fine him $500
right?
Because people were in his place. What is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to go over there while he's trying to keep his business going and grab somebody by the scruff of the neck and throw them out of his restaurant because they're not following the guidance?
I have a great idea for Save Our Saloon next Friday. Bill does some stand-up.
And do we know that they weren't following the guidance?
They posted pictures on social media where this came from.
They were up moving around? Is that what it is in restaurants?
What they were doing was that they're insisting, the licensing board, that you are only supposed to take. I believe the thing that I read last night, Danielle, said that they were, they didn't have it on, they had their masks off and they weren't eating food.
Right.
So the between bite guidance is being deployed here.
But there was never a between bite guidance.
Right. There was.
No, there wasn't. Because I remember I had asked the governor about that. I said, "Do you have to put your mask on between bites?" And he said, "No."
If you read what he told you, because there was guidance issued. Mm-hmm. Nobody enforces it, and why would they?
Right, because I thought once you sit down, you're good as long as you put your mask on when you go to the bathroom.
The adjustment was when they put the more stringent regulations in place. It was that you had to have the mask on at the table even after you sat down at all times, unless you were eating a meal. So you could take off the mask when your meal was served, enjoy the meal, and then put it back on at the end. I'm going to find the exact. So I asked the governor. I said, masks in restaurants, are you expected to pull your mask down and replace it between bites, or are you able to remove your mask the entire time you're actively eating and be masked the rest of the time? He said, wear it until your meal is served, take it off, enjoy your meal, put it back on when you're done, especially if you want to sit and chat for a while.
Yeah, and that's what these people were doing. They were sitting and chatting, and they didn't have their masks on.
Right.
So that's a...
But technically, as long as they got food on the table, aren't they still...
It's a crime against humanity, right.
I think
Wiggy.
The problem is, Wiggy, that this was technically like a buffet situation.
Oh.
So they did like a Lincoln's Day breakfast. Whoa. So if people were sitting down, you know, post-enjoying the food, they didn't have the masks on. And you can see the post that Jeff Deal put up, you know, he took photos with a bunch of different people. And, of course, while they're taking the selfies, no one has masks on. So that probably tipped somebody off. Someone else is, I can't see because it's only a snapshot. Someone else is standing up to speak in one of the photos. It doesn't appear that some of the people at the tables have masks. So I think that's really what this was centered on. No pun intended with West on center.
And I get your point, Greg. There's probably been a lot of this going on in restaurants and we haven't heard anything about any, like a situation like this before.
I guess also, now that I'm reading into a piece in your favorite tome, Greg, the Boston Globe, according to the restrictions in the state, self-serve unattended buffets and other communal serving areas must remain closed. Restaurants must be fined as much as $500 per violation.
Yes.
So I think that factored into it quite a bit.
Right. And in some cases, punishable by death by stoning.
Correct.
Is the way they do that.
In the middle of the square.
Send them to the gulag.
There are some people. Now, I don't know what this text says. That is absolutely abhorrent. I don't know if they're talking about the fact that they're going to fine them or the fact that they were. But this person says, are you trying to say that this guy can't control his patrons? That's ridiculous. Well, is that what the guy should supposed to, is that what he's supposed to be doing?
Well, I think
like
I
he's
got
to piss people off that he's trying to have be customers of his
It's too
place.
Dangerous, man. Don't even do it.
I think it frustrates other restaurant owners and or managers or staff if they are taking those measures to step in and be like, hey, you have we get it. You don't like it, but you have to put your mask on. You have to do this. These are the guidelines so that we can stay open. You know, and it's irresponsible of the parties that are there to know that if those are the guidelines, the restaurant's going to get in trouble. It's not fair to the restaurant.
The restaurant, 617 text, the restaurant allowed patrons to violate a health order, similar to the establishment being liable for over-serving alcohol. Okay, yeah, it's the same exact thing, yeah.
Doesn't it seem like there's too much gray area with the sit down, if you got the food at the table, you can take your mask off. And when your food's there, you could still be chatting and have a conversation. Right. Because I could say, hey, as long as I got food on the table or a drink on the table, isn't that considered I can have my mask on and chat?
Allegedly.
I honestly, some of these text messages, these people have absolutely no care or concern for some of these people who are trying to operate a business.
I don't think that it's the care or the concern. I think a lot of people have the attitude that unfortunately, the onus is on the restaurant to enforce these policies, which sucks that they have to do it in the first place. You know, if everyone could just work together and realize that, like, yeah, I get it. You don't want to wear a mask when you're not eating, and it does suck, and it is annoying. But, you know, to do that is irresponsible because you're putting that business at risk. Like people that go into a business and don't want to wear a mask, now you're putting the business at risk of being shut down.
Gotcha. Can they warn the guy? Can they warn him? Do they have to fine him? Can they warn him?
You know what the next text is
going to
be?
Maybe they will do that. Maybe that's what the outcome of the hearing will be. And they'll say, hey,
why don't they go in there and warn them?
Well, you know what the next text is going to be, Greg, is that they've already warned them. Somebody's going to say, sources are that they already warned this guy.
Two strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
This is Beth. Hello, Beth.
Hi.
Hi, Beth.
How are you?
What's going on?
Well, I'm the director of operations for a restaurant group in Boston.
Yes.
And we made the decision to close in December for this very reason, because we're in the hospitality business. We're not in the business of policing people.
Correct.
And the restrictions made it so that we couldn't operate under the standards that we hold for ourselves as a hospitality business.
And all those people, none of your servers, none of your back of house people, none of them are working because of that, right? And so that's
exactly
and that's the position the state put you in.
When
are you guys going to open again?
We're going to open the first week of April, just because it's better to wait until they realize that the restrictions that they lift, they're going to go back on. Or so it's better to play the long game than it is to just kind of pivot every time the governor changes his mind.
Here's a text that says, why don't they fine the patrons and not the restaurant owner?
Because I don't think there's a provision in place for them to be able to do that.
Oh, no. Danielle, we gotcha. But why wouldn't that be the provision that's
because
in place?
They might
they're
not.
The people who are doing it.
How are you going to track the people?
You send your force of people who are running around trying to shut places down and go and find the patrons if that's what you're going to do.
Well, then it becomes too much of an issue because unless you tell the person when they sit down, here is the exact guidelines on what you can and can't do. You cannot take your mask off until there's food on the table. And then you can, and then as soon as that food has been taken by, I don't know, the waiter, you have to put your mask back on. So there's too much gray area in this whole
but
thing.
You get what she's saying? Like, they're not in the business of policing people on,
and I understand
on masks.
That.
That's not their business. This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Greg?
What's up, Joe?
Hey, you know, I feel as though, like, as a collective society, we're almost sticking our finger in the electric socket over and over again, expecting a different result. I mean, if we can all come to the conclusion that everything over the last year has been perpetuated by social media, it's ridiculous. All these people are getting themselves in trouble and finding themselves getting canceled after it's been posted on social media. So why do people keep posting pictures of themselves on social media when they know they're going to get canceled?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because they're caught in the moment.
It's about the likes.
Yeah.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Well, I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant because it's well-known, and Wiggy will know it if I mention it. It's in East Boston. I happened to be there with my wife last Saturday night, and there was a guy in there who I know personally works for inspectional services.
For the what?
For all the people at the stable.
Works for the inspectional services?
Yes, he does.
Yes.
I won't mention his name, and I won't mention the restaurant name. But he was sitting at a table eating, and then they were talking and having drinks, and they didn't have masks on. So you know what? These people were a bunch of goddamn hypocrites, okay? They're a bunch of garbage. with these fines. These people can't make ends meet, and they're fining them. Give me a break.
Yep.
For God's sakes, you're not a cop. You're not a police officer. You're a restaurateur. Let your people enjoy the experience of having a night out with their family or whatever. But he was sitting there, and he was talking to his constituents or people around him and had no mask on. So why is there a double standard?
Did the establishment where Marty Walsh was taking the selfies without the mask on get a fine?
Not that I recall.
I don't believe so.
Always saw me. I have one in every single pocket. I didn't have it on taking the selfie.
What about in kindergarten?
Got a lot of what for that one.
Here's somebody who works at a gym and says it's the most frustrating thing in the world to go over and tell people that they have to pull their mask up while they're running on a treadmill.
I would never do it. I wouldn't go over and
you
tell...
You wouldn't do it? No, why? You'd be afraid of violence?
Well, because that's generally what it leads to.
It shouldn't lead to violence.
But anytime you tell somebody...
I don't think at the Equinox and Chestnut Hill, they're really going to punch the guy out.
Well, anytime you tell...
Not that gym, maybe, but...
Anytime you tell somebody you can't do this...
Right.
I mean, like the guy said, go to social media. How many people are on there yelling at people saying, you can't tell me what to do, and it's just not worth it. Danielle's had a million stories about people getting shot or in fights because of not wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing it. Listen, you don't...
Just one.
Well, you got to wear two. No, you got to wear two.
Well, you said mask. We're talking about that.
Double up.
I'm looking at the original post that Jeff Deal put up on Facebook, and it literally is like text line because the first comment says, Jeff Deal for governor. And then the last one says, where are your masks?
Where
this
are
is
your
unbelievable.
Masks? Right. And then somebody shipped it right off to 311. You know, that's how that happened.
Of course.
Right. Some Karen who has been, encouraged to narc on her neighbors was the one who complained. So, all right.
Hello, 311.
We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. They would like to thank their associates for their incredible effort and passion they put into their job each and every day. Shaw's and Star Market associates showing resolve and resilience to not only help the company, but also their customers and their community. The Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network launches Sunday on AM 850, 1 o'clock. Will and Joe on the call from Fort Myers.
1 o'clock. That's kind of late for me, Ken. Can we start that game at 10:30? Or
Joe was back at the workout yesterday.
Excellent.
More good photos.
Can't wait to hear Joe.
Chris Sale, 8:30, coming up momentarily on the Greg Hill Show.
Yes, we'll talk to Chris Sale soon.
Here's a little NFL nugget. Brandon Marshall. You buddies with Brandon Marshall, Wiggy? Or
no.
You don't know him at all. He was on First Things First. He was asked about the Russell Wilson situation, where Schefter reported yesterday Wilson told Seattle he wants to stay, but if he were traded, Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. According to Brandon Marshall, a source close to Wilson, 60% chance he stays with Seattle, best chance if he leaves the Raiders, which means for the Patriots, Derek Dallas Carr, the used car, back in play for your New England Patriots.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you see that? Wilson to the Raiders, and then Mayock and Belichick talk up a little bit?
I could see that with Gruden, you know, saying I'll give up 3 first-round draft picks for Russell Wilson.
And probably recoup some of that from Bill.
Is that like the 30% chance of rain? There's 100% chance that he'll get traded. It's just where he'll go.
I mean, Curtis's lead was kind of this, that basically the Pats are in a bad situation. They have to wait for every other team for the dominoes to fall. But that might not be a bad, turnout. If that's the way it goes,
yeah,
and you get Carr.
I wouldn't mind Derek Carr. Got a couple years on the contract. You could still, I guess if you're getting a guy like Derek Carr, it means you're probably giving up a first-round pick, so you might not be able to get that guy.
Yeah. The only concern is that you're really waiting for all of these dominoes to fall, and then what's left if you don't get one of them?
Yeah, you got to get it.
That's the problem. You're left with
the draft
guy,
is what's
Wiggy.
Left.
You're left with Cam Newton.
No, the draft is what you're left with, right? Because don't you think that all these guys that, Russell Wilson and, let's say, Deshaun Watson and some of these veterans that are already on teams, they have to get moved before the draft. So now you'll know, okay, hey, we need to now move up to get the guy that we really want.
Bruins now 0-3 against the Islanders this season. 2-2 game in the third turned into a 7-2 romp on Long Island. They'll do it tonight at Madison Square Garden in front of 2,000 fans. Rangers and the Bees, 7 o'clock faceoff. Celtics at the Garden, 7:30 tip. Chris Sale joins the Greg Hill Show coming up next.
Get ready.
Ready to go.
We're back to more. The Greg Hill Show on EEI.
That's a Danielle Murr.
Really?
That's a me request.
Huh.
That would be Massachusetts' favorite, All That Remains, my guys, doing Thunder Rolls. Love that cover.
But didn't Garth show up at the inauguration? Is that where he was last seen, I believe?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
No mask.
All right, well, coming up at 9, we'll talk with Anthony Quetta, who is AJ's dad, and get an update on AJ and their family. But right now, on the Harbor One Hotline, it is Chris Sale of the Boston Red Sox. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
How's the weather? What are we looking at? 75, 80? What's the deal today?
From what I've seen, it's better than everywhere else. So we're rolling.
It's better than here. Absolutely better than here.
That's for sure.
How are you progressing post Tommy John? How are you feeling?
Good. We got done throwing yesterday. Kind of on an every other day schedule now. Get pushed back to 90 feet tomorrow, and just progressing. Everything's been moving, you know, pretty steady for the last couple months, which is good. So. Right where we want to be.
How is camp different during the new COVID world that we live in?
It is very different, in a number of ways. But it's been interesting, you know. And I know that it's, you know, it's different. It's a little, you know, there's some challenges. There's some obstacles and stuff. But you know, the main goal is still the same, you know, getting better and practicing. You know, there's some different things that we have to do, but, you know, it's part of it. You deal with it and you move on.
Are you guys forbidden from doing team dinners at Twin Peaks or anything like that? What's the guidance down there?
Yeah, we're a little bit higher class than that. We, you know, we're more steak dinner type of people, and, I don't know. I'm not too sure what the protocols are. I know that you know, big gatherings aren't good, and you know, some of the other things. But we're finding ways to have a good time and mix it up and still get the work we need done and enjoying it. You know,
what's it like? What, Chris? What's it like to have Alex Cora back managing?
Excuse me. Sorry. It's unbelievable. I mean, I know I've said it, you know, a lot, and I probably sound like a broken record, but, you know, there was never really anybody else for the job in my eyes. You know, what he's done for me in my career and what I've seen him do for other people, and, you know, just the camaraderie, the trust that we can have in him, his passion for, you know, the game of baseball, everyone around here and the Red Sox organization. It, you know, everything just kind of matched up. It's one of those things where kind of the stars aligned. So we're glad to have him back, and you know, especially with where we're at right now with our team and everything going forward, he's going to be a big part of our success.
You guys feel like this team has a shot at contending when it comes to the East?
We got a shot with everybody. I mean, I for me, I'm not too worried about who we have in here. It's what we do with who we have in here, right? You know, I said it the other day. There, talent comes through the door on a daily basis. Every year, there's new people drafted. There's, you know, international signings. There's high school guys. There's college guys. There's amateur. You know, the whole everybody. And it's not who you have in the clubhouse. It's what they bring to the table. And you know, I think that couldn't be any more true with where we're at right now. You know, it doesn't matter who we have in the clubhouse. It's about getting the best out of each individual person and working hard on a daily basis to get our ultimate goal, and that's winning a championship.
Well, when you talk about talent, you lose a guy like Mookie Betts. How difficult is it to replace a guy like that, and or knowing as a team now we have to elevate our game because we lost such a talented player?
Yeah, there's no doubt. That's tough. You know, Mookie's the, you know, generational talent. You know, there's nothing I can sit up here and say to alleviate that. The only thing we can do is look forward and keep pushing forward. You know, there's no question every single team that's ever been constructed would be better with Mookie Betts on that team. But that being said, he's not on our team. So, you know, we kind of have to move forward and do with, you know, play with what you got, you know, and the guys we have here have fire, they have passion, and they have talent, and you know, that's all it takes. You know, we just got to go put it together on the field and see what we get.
This is Boston, so we spend a lot of time agonizing over the past. I just wanted to ask about Mookie and your and I think there's this feeling around here that maybe Mookie didn't want to be here anymore. Did you, in your conversations with him or your feeling, did you get that from him?
I never got that from him personally. He never told me I don't want to be here. I think that what he did and the situation he was in was what every single professional athlete on the planet strives to get to, and that's having the ball in your court, being the driver of the car. You know, our entire careers are being told where to go, what to do, and how to do it, and very rarely do we get these opportunities to say, listen, I'm the one making the rules. I get to make the decisions, and he did that. And not only did he maximize what was the best for him, but now for the next decade, he set a tone. He set a precedent for people in his scenario, people in his shoes. And I'm sorry, but you can't knock a guy for that. He bettered himself. He bettered the game. And he maximized his very, very small window of opportunity.
Hey, Christian, in regards to coming back from Tommy John, have you talked to any of your teammates who have gone through it or guys around the league as to what to expect? And do you feel like you can come back and be yourself right away, or might it take a little while?
Yes and yes. I've been very kind of vocal with a lot of my teammates, you know, current teammates, former teammates, and just trying to learn as much as I can about this. And on the backside of it, there's no doubt in my mind that I can get back to, you know, who I was before, if not better than that. I have, excuse me, great help in my corner with our training staff and the Boston Red Sox organization. I got unbelievable teammates that are, you know, helping me through this process. You know, guys that have been there before with the Tommy John, and, you know, just people picking me up on a daily basis, you know, that mixed with, you know, work ethic and the things that I know I can do and what I bring to the table. That's a, you know, pretty good concoction. I'm confident moving forward with everything that, you know, I basically just talked about.
Chris, what did you think of David Ortiz saying that the game is boring because essentially coaches only want kids to hit home runs and that's all they practice?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would agree with him in a way. I feel like we have kind of gotten to this very all or nothing way of playing the game. You know, home runs, strikeouts, you know, pitchers are only trying to strike guys out, hitters are only trying to hit home runs, but, you know, I don't know what to do about it. You want me to tell AC to start, running some more hit and runs, tell some guys to steal some bases? Is that what we need?
Well, I was going to ask you if you could change one thing to improve the game or do one thing, what would it be?
To be totally honest with you, this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I would just, for me, my personal opinion, I don't want anyone to get offended by this, don't, you know, burn my house down or anything, but I think that if we took shifts away, it would be a little bit more back to normal, because, you know, watching every left-handed power hitting player, anybody that's, you know, left-handed power hitter, has three guys over there, and if they don't hit a home run, they're bouncing it to the middle guy. And I don't know. I think that would kind of create a little bit more chaos, and you see more hits, and give you more reason to not try to maybe go yard every time. That's just me. I don't know. I'm just a starting pitcher with a expiration date.
Well, I honestly think if they did that, Ortiz might come out of retirement and play again, because he would have hit 400 if there were no shifts.
I hate to break it to you, but he should have never retired in the first place. He almost hit 400 with the shift.
That's true.
Chris, we have this conversation all the time about athletes, elite franchise players, and you talk about Mookie Betts, and I know there's Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, about guys wanting to have their voice heard and having more input with the organization on some of the decisions, or just being, the recommendations that they may have. Have you ever been in that situation before, that you went to management or ownership and said, hey, I'd like this guy here, I think this guy would be a good manager?
Yeah, I mean, I've had people call me and ask me questions. I don't know, I've had some... It's a very tough question, because who I am right now is a little bit different than, who I was in the past, and my thought on that specific subject. You know, for me, where I sit right now is exactly what I told you earlier, is I don't care who comes through that door, player, personnel, like, I have preferences, like, I obviously wanted AC to be our manager, but if he was not, whoever's sitting in that managerial seat, I play as hard as I can for 100% of the time, whatever he says goes. Players, of course you want top-tier free agents. Who wouldn't have wanted Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer and Miguel Cabrera, the names can go on and on. But worrying about that, for me anyways, me personally, where I sit today as an athlete, me, I don't wrap myself around that stuff anymore, man. I can't. And it's been proven that sometimes on a given day it doesn't matter. Sports are crazy. Just give me some guys that want to play hard and show up on time and just have some guts. That's all I need.
Chris, I know you're a big family guy. You had talked to Brad Foe last spring about, your relationship with your dad and how important it is for you to be there for your sons. And, I know you, your wife, and the boys are Floridians, but how are you and the team handling, family-type stuff with spring training with COVID restrictions? Are you able to see and interact with them? How's that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I live down here in the area, so it's a little bit easier for me, because I still pick up my kids from school. We go to, soccer practice and baseball games and all that stuff. But for guys traveling in, yeah, I mean, there's definitely some hurdles to get over, with some of the protocol stuff, even family traveling to Florida by themselves, the intake testing, all that stuff. So there's no doubt that I could see this being a challenge for guys that, aren't local. I think I might be one of the only, there's only a few local guys here. So, we got guys from California, Texas, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Florida, Georgia, all over the place. So yeah, that would be tough. And I'm in a very fortunate situation to where I don't really have to worry about that, because I live here. So I'm definitely appreciative of that.
We found out yesterday that on opening day there will be 12% of the capacity at Fenway Park, fan-wise. Does that make a difference to you guys? Was it different playing without fans last year?
I fortunately didn't even get to experience that.
Oh yeah, true, because of the Well,
I had one game in 2015 with no fans, which was kind of creepy, but I hope that throughout the season they find a way to open it up. I'm hoping that, everything kind of gets more and more back to normal with everything in the world, obviously. But, obviously now we're talking about sports and baseball, that specifically. The fans make it, man. I mean, it's as much as I love this game and I can go out there and compete anywhere at any time with anyone, There's absolutely no question that the fans absolutely make the atmosphere, and just them being there, the presence, you know, just the buzz, the eruptions, the oohs, the ahs, you miss that. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can get, you know, get Fenway packed full sooner rather than later.
If there's one, like, can you specifically hear something? If there's one masshole who is saying something, can you specifically hear that?
At Fenway Park, what are you talking about?
Was he gonna hear him?
Yeah, and that's the fun too. You know, like that's the fun of it. But, you know, these fans come to watch our games, and they pay their hard-earned money to come watch us play and hope for us to win, and give us some crap when we don't. You know, they've earned that right just as much as the next guy. And to be honest with you, I miss all of it. I really do, because it's that's what we're accustomed to. You know, that Fenway Park, like, it's not like any other place. Like, it's packed all the time, and we have very passionate fans, and that helps. I mean, there's no doubt. You can ask anybody. It helps having those fans in the stands and behind our back.
So you can hear that. You can hear that guy yell, like calling you Chris Frail or whatever. You can clearly hear it, right?
Chris, when you talk about the passion of fans, right? And how much pressure do you put on yourself knowing that you're a big part of where this team goes and this success that they have because of, you know, who you are as a pitcher in this rotation and coming back from Tommy John? Do you think about that a lot, or are you just kind of looking at each individual day?
A little bit of both, honestly. Like, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I don't think about that stuff. I mean, I know who I am. I know what I can do. I know, quite honestly, to be totally honest, I know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm supposed to do something on this team, and I know what that is. And trust me, every single day of this rehab, I'm working to get to that day. Like, there's no doubt about that. And, I mean, to be totally honest with you, I just want to be good again. That's it. I want to go out there, and I want to be me. I want to win games. I want to punch tickets, and I want to be the guy that I'm supposed to be. That's it. That's the whole reason I'm here. If there was any doubt about that, I would have retired. I should just take it to the house. But I got to work my butt off to get back to being that guy and winning games and being, you know, the leader of a team.
Hey, Chris, J.D. Martinez had said he wanted to play for the Red Sox for years to come. How about you? Do you want to retire as a Red Sox?
100%. I got nowhere else to go. Got nowhere else to be. And he's, like I said, I mean, this place is top-notch. They're unbelievable. And I like it here. I love it here. I feel comfortable here. They take care of me. They take care of my family. And we win. Check the books, man. Check the books. We win. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what we do a lot of. So I'd like to get back to that.
speaking of JD, did he give you one of those drunk Tom Brady shirts that he was wearing the other day? Or
no, man, no, he didn't. I'm a little upset about that, because that's a pro shirt. That was pretty funny.
Yes, it was.
I saw that, and that was good on JD and good on Tom Brady too. That was fun to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, as an athlete, was it incredible to you what Tom Brady was able to do in one season, leaving here and going to Tampa Bay and winning it?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because any normal person would think that that's impossible. But with Tom Brady, I guess we've seen anything is possible. So, yes, it's shocking, but because of Tom Brady, I guess no, not really. yeah, I mean, the guy's on another level now. I mean, I think he just put himself on a completely different level than any other, for sure, football player, but probably any other athlete ever. So that was impressive. So congratulations to them.
Chris, you talked about who you are as a player and what you can do. Does it inspire you at all when you see a guy at Tom Brady's age being able to do that and know that, you know, you have this picture of what you need to do and get back to where you are? Does he inspire you to say, I can do it?
Oh, man. Doing what Tom Brady does at that age and what he's done, I mean, that's going to be hard to replicate. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be in awe of what he does and aspire to be that. But I've never won a Super Bowl, So going from 0 to 7 over the next, KG, how many years do you think I got left in my prime?
Well, how many you got?
You tell us.
I don't think I'm going to get to 6 or 7 Super Bowls in that time. So
the way,
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there.
The way baseball works, the Red Sox will still be paying you 20 years from now. So don't worry about it. I think they're still paying Manny. All right. Well, listen.
Yeah, maybe I'll get a Bobby Bonilla day.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, it's been awesome having you on. I hope we get to have you on throughout the season from time to time. And everybody here is pulling for you. So and listen, there'll be 12% of the capacity there on opening day at Fenway. So we can't wait till that happens. All right, Chris?
Us too. We're excited. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Thank you very much. That's Chris Sale. We'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on EEI.
If there's one, like, can you specifically hear something? If there's one masshole who was saying something, can you specifically hear that?
Well, it blew up the chicken man.
At Fenway Park? What are you talking about?
Was he gonna hear him?
Down on the boardwalk, they're ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do.
Chris Sale, pretty good guy. I like him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Good interview.
Curtis brought up, he sounds exactly like Matt Light. It is,
he does.
It is scary.
Texters, ask him about the mask.
Texters are saying the same thing.
I thought it was weird when Ken tried the same Dwight Freeney joke on him.
This is Kesey. Hey, Kesey, what's up?
What's up, guys? It's just give me a couple seconds, honestly. I have to get this out. To hear Chris Sale, right? Now, that's an athlete. The best thing he said a lot of great stuff. But he said, give me guys that want to show up on time and compete. He has the NHL mentality, okay? Not the NBA mentality. Guess who Chris Sale does not want on his team? Deshaun Watson. Deshaun, do yourself a favor. Go cash a $2 million you get every 2 weeks and shut your mouth, okay?
Wow.
The fact that our country, okay, is now all of a sudden a place where the employee runs the show. It's so disgusting. But again, it is what everyone asked for. It was just so nice to hear Chris Sale take that NHL hockey player mentality and be a real person,
yeah,
like most of us.
No, he said,
not the Deshaun Watsons of this world, Wiggy, that wants to cry. You know what Chris Sale wants? Mm-hmm. He wants people that are going to show up on time and compete. He does not want Deshaun.
Hey,
so,
Kesey,
Wiggy, you and Deshaun go, and me and Chris Sale will go, and
well,
I promise
Kesey,
you,
quick question for
who
you,
will
buddy
be standing at the end of the day.
Chris Kesey, I love Chris Sale. That interview was awesome. But let's not mask. I mean, he basically took a butcher to his jersey with the White Sox and forced his way out of town.
Good point.
I mean,
that's a good point.
No, so, like, it's not
but he addressed that when he said that he's older now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When he was younger, he would, you know, that was a little bit different.
Yeah, he's wiser. He's older and wiser now.
Yeah, just,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a good idea to take scissors because you don't like the uniform, but that's a lot different than what Mr. Deshaun Watson's doing. Okay, it's embarrassing that Deshaun Watson does that, and then ESPN and all the goofballs around here that want to eat it, promote it. It's a joke. That's not how life works. That's not how this country was. Let's get it back to the way it used to be, even though it's not headed in that direction.
All right.
But he did kind of go down that road just a little bit, like when he was younger, that, you know, yeah, I wanted them to kind of hear my input. At least that's what I sounded like.
But he said that, when you know, he was talking about Alex Cora, mm-hmm, and he said, I'm glad he's the manager,
right,
but if he wasn't, I'd be behind whoever it was. 100%.
And he said, my uniform will be all cut up, though.
Dump that, Ken.
He's good. We should get him on all season long,
Ken. Been trying.
Will you work on that?
Sure.
All right.
Curtis is the PD. It's his
Greg,
fault.
Put it in your contract.
He's a big part of where this team is going to go this year.
Yeah.
When you think about their rotation, him, E-Rod, and Evaldi, three major question marks. They can hit the ball, but what are those three guys going to do?
Are you calling E-Rod a question mark just because of the COVID-related heart thing?
No, no, no. But prior to that, he dealt with some injuries. So prior to the COVID stuff.
I want some input into who our regular Red Sox guests are. I demand input, and I want it to be Chris Sale.
Okay, it's going
to
be myocarditis.
Okay. Right. Hey, is he the new center fielder?
Yep.
He's our reliever.
I can't wait to see him play.
We're going
to
take a quick break, and then we will be joined by Anthony Quetta, who is AJ's dad, and we'll get an update on AJ and their family coming up next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.